welcome back to Extra Features Interviews. Today we have a fabulous film called Factory of the Paranormal. We have a star that's in the film named Jeff Profit. I think I got that right.
Profit.
Sorry, I did try. And he's an evil realtor in it. It's fabulous. I think everybody needs to see it. So I have some basic questions to start us off.
Okay.
Where did you film it?
It was actually filmed in New Jersey, in southern New Jersey. That's where I do a lot of my filming. That's where I'm based out of. So I was able to find a local factory that is abandoned, and we were able to use that location, and so it worked out perfectly.
Because I was wondering that, if you knew the people on the factory, I'm like, he just sort of wanders around it. They don't ever go into the factory, really.
Yeah. That's from a logistical standpoint. To get in the factory, again, because this is a indie film, to get in the factory, there's going to be all kinds of insurance and waivers and all kinds of things. So God forbid if, you know, an actor got hurt or something, you know, so that would have, you know, skyrocketed the budget. So that's why you see the characters on the outside of the factory as opposed to actually being on the inside of the factory without giving too much away.
No, you're doing great, because those are questions I would have, because they clearly state they're looking for a hole in the fence. That's very stated early.
Right.
That they're looking for that. So I was wondering why they never found that hole in the fence.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that answers a big question. What was your budget on the film?
Budgets are usually for just a couple thousand dollars. We try to stay in that ballpark, just because, I don't do any crowdfunding or anything like that. This is all out of pocket. We try to keep it in the, couple thousand dollar ballpark range.
Now I have a couple questions. Are you using the iPhone to shoot with at all, or is it just a prop?
No, the iPhone was actually used to film one of the characters, Carrie. As you see in the movie, she actually has the phone, and we used footage from the iPhone to get her POV, her perspective.
Okay.
So she's kind of filming her friend Vanessa, and Vanessa has a DSLR.
Yes.
But we actually did use footage from the iPhone.
Okay, I was wondering that. I'm like, that looks like iPhone footage, but I should ask, because I didn't want to assume mm-hmm. it was.
So yeah.
I'm going to assume that there's another cameraman, obviously.
No, this was actually done with the two actresses, Carrie, who's the main actress,
right.
And then Vanessa. And then, of course, I was kind of off to the side as a director, kind of making sure that the everything was filmed that we needed to get. And basically this was, the film, it was ad-libbed, like, a lot of found footage, movies.
I was going to ask that was on my list. Was it no script?
Yeah.
Cause I couldn't see
and,
one.
So basically the script was just kind of like we had an outline, I guess. And then the actresses, that outline, they just kind of, improv'd, as long as they kind of had a parameters that they had to stay in. There were certain like talking points that they had to hit. So we made sure that they, kind of stayed in the ballpark of what the conversation needed to be. But the dialogue was definitely all there. Dialogue was just right off the cuff.
Because I do have a question, but you may not want to answer it because it may be a spoiler for the film. So I'm going to ask it.
Okay.
When you show up, there's something blowing around in the wind. I was trying to figure out, was it a coat, a garbage bag? I couldn't quite tell what it was.
Yeah, that's actually a sheet. The thing about Factory of Paranormal is that Factory of Paranormal is a spinoff of House of Paranormal. When you see the sheet and you see the baby doll, that's connected to House of Paranormal.
And that's another one of your films?
Yeah, that's another one of my films.
Okay.
So House of Paranormal, which was not a found footage movie, that was a scripted horror film. This is a spinoff of House of Paranormal. And my character, Kyle, he is in House of Paranormal, and he has an experience in the house that he's living in. And so this is kind of a spinoff from that.
Aha. See, I couldn't have gotten that, I guess, from just seeing one film.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Didn't know that. When you show the film at the beginning a couple times, are you adding sound in, or are they doing that sound at that time?
Specifically the beginning,
the beginning of the film, it's like a field shot. It sounds like wind or something really heavily.
She's kind of breathing because she's running, and then there is a little bit of wind. Again, because I wanted to kind of capture the raw, like found footage style.
Right.
I didn't want to clean up the audio too much. I wanted to have that raw found footage look and sound.
Okay, so that's real.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, those are just questions I have. I write down. Okay, because you told me. I'm just reading my notes. When you do the looping at the end, because I don't think I'm giving anything away.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to say. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to take from that, I guess, is what I'm asking.
That was kind of me just kind of adding maybe my artistic kind of spin on it, I guess. Because you do see kind of the flashbacks of what's going on at the end, when things kind of start to wrap up and everything kind of starts to come together. So that was just my way of kind of putting like a little artistic spin on it, you know, kind of give that flashback feel.
Okay.
That's kind of what I was going for.
That's what I got. Okay, I did get what I was supposed to get from that.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Sometimes I don't know. That's why I ask these questions. Uh-huh. But I'm just like, okay, somebody's watching it, and they have these questions, like the sheet. I guess where do you find your actors is something I always want to know. How do you get to that point?
Mm-hmm.
So you settle on these two.
I'm based in the South Jersey area, as I said, and a lot of my actors come from the Philadelphia area. For years have used the Philadelphia Film Office. They have a great website, and they're able, on the website, you're able to connect with, other filmmakers and actors. You can, you know, put, casting notices, up. And of course there's other, you know, casting websites that I've used, but, I specifically, usually use the, film.org, which is the Philadelphia Film Office. And they've always been great over the years. I've been doing this for quite a few years, and they've always been really good with any type of help you need, whether it be you know, actors or crew or anything like that. They've always been really good.
Now, do you have to pay your actors, or do they just show up for the film credits?
Yeah, the actors are paid.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
The actors are paid. So in the beginning, when I first started making movies, budgets were extremely tight. So unfortunately, it was everybody was kind of just helping out as volunteer. But over the years, I've been able to, you know, kind of build my budgets up a little bit. So the actors are paid.
That's awesome.
Yep.
I always get these weird questions. Do you have catering?
No. Actually, the way I have a kind of interesting way of filming, the way I set up, we don't film any more than 4 hours a day. So what I do is I'll set up an 8-hour block for me for production wise. So we'll film no more than 4 hours. Typically, I try to keep it well under four. In the 2.5 to 3 hour, sometimes we hit four. But what I do is the first half of the day or night, depending on, you know, what type of scene we have to do, we'll film for 4 hours, and then the second 4 hours is just post production where I'm editing.
Okay.
That's just kind of it's actually something I kind of learned from Robert Rodriguez. I remember listening to one of the behind the scenes clips he had. I don't remember what. Specific film it was,
and he talked
about kind of shortening the production day so that you know, you didn't have a catering budget, you didn't have to worry about a lot of things, because you know, and again, you know, a lot of the people you work with, they're doing this part time, so they have other day jobs, so it kind of works perfectly if you can kind of lock in like a 3 or 4 hour window for them, and they can film, do what they got to do, and then they, you know, kind of have to go to their job or do wherever they have to go, and then I'll usually take a day off of my schedule so I can do 4 hours of filming and then 4 hours of post-production.
That's a great idea. I never even thought of that at any point. I'm going to go back to the film for a couple more questions. Why the two cars, and why two girls and not a guy and a girl, or two guys? Was there any real reason for that?
There were no real reasons. The two cars, in the film, you hear Carrie talk about, it would be better if they had two cars.
Yes.
That way, in case there was a situation, they could easily get to their cars and then go in their different directions.
Exactly.
The reason, two females, no specific reason. It just kind of worked that way. Originally, there were actually going to be three females, and unfortunately, because of some scheduling conflicts, the one actress couldn't make it, so we had to kind of rearrange the script just a little bit. So we had the two actresses who were the, you know, the main characters in the film who went on the little paranormal adventure.
I guess one of my questions is in the lead-in. It doesn't tell us how the footage was found. Is there a reason for that?
No, there's no reason. Just from, you know, many of the found footage movies I've seen, sometimes you don't always get that. It's just kind of, you just kind of don't really know how the footage was found. There was no, you know, specific reason as to why that was.
Okay. This is questions I have while I'm watching. Mm-hmm. I thought the girl should have brought a video camera. I guess I was assuming the iPhone's going to fill in for that, I guess, is what
it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I wanted to kind of use the iPhone because and nowadays that's kind of, you know, because of what we have with YouTube and all the social media, it kind of goes along with the because this takes place, obviously, in, you know, this year in 2017. So I wanted to add more of like a realistic feel as opposed to, you know, bringing, a big camera. Mm-hmm. And if anyone is fans of some of the paranormal shows that you see on TV, sometimes you will see them where they have kind of an iPhone and they'll have certain apps that they use to get the footage they need for these paranormal investigations. So I definitely wanted to have one of the characters have she used an iPhone specifically. So it had more of a modern take on the paranormal investigation.
So you didn't use any of the DSLR footage that there was no video taken with that?
Oh no, there was. This was a combination. The footage was a combination of the iPhone footage and the DSLR footage. And basically, like I said, you saw each perspective from each actress.
I did.
When it went on this journey. So when you see the taller girl is Vanessa. When you see when she's looking at Carrie or the factory, right, or whatever's going on, that's footage from DSLR. And then when you see Carrie's footage when she's looking at Vanessa, that's from the iPhone.
I was wondering that. I'm like, well, it could be. We'll see, because it looked really good. Both the images were very clean.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Yeah, so I'm just reading my notes. I think you've answered most of my questions already, which is fabulous. What are you doing with the film? Like, I found it on YouTube, and I don't know if it's a free link on YouTube or it's...
Right now, it's actually on Amazon Prime.
Oh, good.
On Amazon. It's on Amazon right now, and it's also should be soon coming to Roku, if anyone is familiar with the Roku sticks and how they work.
I am.
So right now it's on Amazon and on Roku, and it's doing pretty well. You know, horror movies always do pretty well.
Yes, they do.
So it's just one of those genres that, you know, people are always locked into and have an appetite for. So horror always does very well.
That's awesome. Why 865-856 Films is a title for your production company?
856 is the area code from where I'm based out of, where I'm originally from. And when I, first was working on putting a website and stuff together, it's just I thought it was, you know, from a marketing standpoint, it's easy. 856films, you know, .com is my production company website, and so 856 is the area code where I'm based out of and where most of the productions take place.
Oh, now, have you gone the festival circuit with any of your films?
No, I haven't done any film festivals. When I first started years ago, I had a chance to attend a couple film festivals, but I've never had any of my films in a film festival. I had an opportunity to meet a fellow filmmaker who was based out of the Philadelphia area, and I saw his work and what he was doing, and this was back, of course, when Blockbuster Video was still around, and he had some of his movies actually in Blockbuster, and I remember talking to him and talking to him about the film festival thing, and he said, "I've never had any of my movies in a film festival, but my movies are in Blockbuster." And I guess from that point, I said, "Well, I mean, that's kind of the idea, is that you're looking for an audience who are, you know, not necessarily, I guess, film festival audience, but a regular movie audience." And I guess from that point, I took his advice and I just always went, straight distribution, or went to release the movie. Either, like I said, usually on, originally my first movie actually was on VHS years ago and then moved into DVD. And now, because of the technology we have, everything now is VOD and streaming services.
Well, that's awesome. I think that's Amazon and Roku and all those, Netflix, even for that matter, have opened up for independent filmmakers because they all need content.
Absolutely.
Constantly.
And that's the thing. They really do. I mean, people, the thing about movies is that, unlike music, sometimes, with music, obviously, people will listen to a song over and over again. Movies, not so much. People will sometimes, but a lot of times people, when they consume a movie, they want to go right to the next one. And then, this honestly is the greatest time to be a filmmaker, just because of all the different outlets there are, like you said, with Amazon, Netflix, Roku, and, even YouTube. There's so many different outlets for filmmakers to showcase their films. So this is, you know, the greatest time to definitely be a filmmaker and to take advantage of all the opportunities are to have your films displayed.
Well, I also think Twitter helps, because that's how we met. It's over Twitter and how I meet most of my people. People find me, and I do a podcast, but nobody finds me any other way other than Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because, I mean, people find it and listen to it, which is great. I love it. But, I mean, without this, I wouldn't get to see a lot of indie films.
Mm-hmm.
Because of Twitter, I like it. I like you guys, filmmakers, coming to me and go, here, look at my film. And I see different styles. I see different actresses.
Yeah.
Actors. I mean, love definitely.
Love it. Like you said, Twitter, you know, social media, because of that, I mean, that right there, that's, you know, from the marketing aspect of promoting your film. I mean, that's just great for, you know, filmmakers, guys like me who are, you know, indie filmmakers who don't have, you know, the money to put a lot of money behind, you know, advertising and marketing, which is another thing. I mean, it's kind of aside from, you know, my film specifically, a lot of times you'll hear the quote unquote studio indie film where you'll see a movie, for example, I'll use The Purge, for example. It took, you know, a couple $1 million to make The Purge. Purge did, this is the original Purge I'm talking about. Purge did great. And then when you kind of get into the behind the scenes, you talk to the producers, you know, Jason Blum and some other people, and you're like, well, you know, Universal, I think it was Universal that was the distributor. You know, they put $33 million in the marketing advertising. You're like, well, that kind of changes the aspect a little bit. You
absolutely know? I mean, it does.
A $3 million movie, it's like, well, yeah, that's considered, I guess, low budget for, you know, that level of production. But then you hear about the, you know, the marketing advertising, that's where most of the money is in the marketing advertising. And because of, you know, social media, you know, smaller production companies like mine are able to take advantage of that and spread the word through social media.
I think you guys do a better job than the big films, because I find a lot of the big films, they just waste money on marketing. Like, you just got to write Spider-Man Homecoming's out, and people will go see it.
Yeah.
I don't need a television ad. I don't need a billboard. I just need to open my paper. Oh, Spider-Man opened this weekend. Okay, I'll go see it. You don't. Yeah. You need to promote 24/7.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you definitely see that a lot of even the bigger studios, like I said, with the social media, you know, when you're on different social media platforms, you'll see where they promote, you know, like you said, Spider-Man, big budget, you know, studio tentpole movies. So they take advantage of that as well. But they also still do the TV advertising, and you'll see the billboards, which I think eventually you'll start to see go, you know, once they, you know, I would imagine that they're going to see, you know, they're spending a lot of money in that. And marketing, advertising on TV and radio and different print publications. And that's going to, I think, eventually just kind of fall by the wayside. And it's going to be strictly internet and social media marketing.
I'm 100% in agreement with on you on that. I just think they're wasting your money on TV ads. I mean, everybody PVRs, everybody does not watch things live unless it's sports.
Right, exactly. Like you said, I mean, a lot of the times people record a programming, and I mean, I don't know any one person who, when they record a program, come home and then watch it, they watch the commercials. Everybody hits the fast forward and goes through the commercials to get to the next part of the
program. I'm with you 100%. And even on YouTube, it has a commercial. I will pick up my phone and do something else for that 15 seconds.
Right. Put it down, and then wait for the commercial to play.
I'm just like, I don't care. I couldn't even tell you what they're advertising anymore. It's so strange now that I found, like, if your movie was available at Walmart, that's where I'd first see it. Like your friend saying at Blockbuster, I would check it out because I'd never heard of it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I haven't heard of this one. Let's check that out. And I get what your buddy was going for back then. And I think it's the same on an Amazon. Like, most of the films I see on there, I've seen the main ones.
Uh-huh.
So I'm looking for your type of film, something different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've seen a Spider-Man. I've seen, okay, let's move on. Oh, what's that? I haven't heard of that. Let's check who's in that. See if that's about. That might be interesting to me.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that's neat about Amazon is I'm sure you've seen where at the bottom – there'll be recommendations for other films that are kind of in that genre, that style of movie.
Yes.
That's one of the ways I find different interesting films that I've never seen or filmmakers I've never heard of from the little bottom section where, you know, it'll make a suggestion on other films that you might be interested in.
I think that's great. With your community, I mean, you've made a few films now. Are you finding people are coming to you and wanting to be in your films or no? Not yet. Hello? Internet's dropped a few times today. It happens. What I want to ask you is, with the amount of films you're doing and the exposure you're getting, are you getting people coming to you now and asking, hey, I want to be in your film?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll have people that will come to me and ask me about different projects I'm working on. And then, of course, there's actors that I work with or crew members that I work with who will stay in contact with me because I know, you know, I do, you know, quite a bit of films. So they'll stay in contact with me as well. And you'll see some of my other films. I like to use, you know, the same actors. The actors that I'm comfortable with that I've worked with on several different projects. So that's definitely, I have people come to me and people, like I said, that'll stay in contact with me. Just to, you know, out of the blue, I'll get a phone call or a text or an email saying, hey, you know, what are you working on next? Do you have anything that would, you think would be, you know, I would be perfect for? And then of course I get, you know, people who, that I've never worked with, who will contact me. Sometimes I'll get people who, aren't necessarily from the area, who, you know, will, be, you know, out in California or something, will contact me and just to, you know, see what projects I'm working on and if there's anything that they can be a part of. And my budgets right now aren't to the level of being able to fly people in, you know, from LA or anything like that. But, you know, eventually, you know, as I keep working, working my way in this business, eventually I'll be able to have the, you know, the budgets like that where I can fly people in from, you know, from different parts of the world, I guess, and bring them in and have them be a part of the pro, you know, the, whatever production I'm working on.
I think that's fabulous. I think that's really awesome that people are contacting you now. How many films do you make a year? You said you've got a lot on the go, so.
Without knowing too many numbers, I mean, it's you know, a little bit of money. I mean, every year it kind of grows a little bit more, obviously, because there's more content out. And, you know, it's all a numbers game. You know, the more content you have, like they say, you know, content is king. So, you know, the more content you have, definitely, you know, the more revenue you're going to generate. I mean, there's movies that I made, you know, 10 years ago that, you know, still make money because of, like I said, because of, you know, Amazon and Roku and things like that. And it's, you know, I mean, it's not, you know, like I said, I'm not at the level of being able to, you know, fly actors in, not at that level yet, but it definitely generates revenue, and which I think is amazing because that's one of the things that I think sometimes people forget is that, you know, when a movie comes out and people will watch it or whatever, they think, oh, you know, it's kind of something that goes on the shelf, but because of the technology we have with the streaming services and VOD, I mean, these movies make your money for years to come, and I think that's a great thing. And like I said, it's a great time to be a filmmaker because of the opportunities like that.
I think that's awesome. I think that is really cool. So it's, you're making films for 10 years, and you're making money, and your budget's getting bigger. I mean, that must be really a happy feeling, I guess.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a great feeling, and you know, I've had other filmmaker friends that I talk to who will look for outside funding, and that's something I always pushed against because I just feel like, you know, when you bring in outside, you know, financing, you kind of, in a sense, you're hiring a boss sort of, because a lot of times I've heard nightmare stories where, you know, filmmakers will find an investor, they'll bring him in and, you know, they'll take the script and just completely chop it up and they'll want to make it their type of movie and they want to, you know, market it this way to a certain audience. So I've always been a strong believer in working with what you have. Even if you only have a couple bucks and I mean, even if a couple bucks and an iPhone, I mean, because I mean, the technology that we have now with video on phones, I mean, you can shoot 4K with an iPhone. So I would definitely encourage any, you know, up and coming filmmakers, you know, a lot of times, and, you know, and again, if it's your thing to kind of go with the crowdfunding, that's fine. Me personally, if anyone ever asked me for filmmaking advice, I would always say work with what you have. I think that's where you're going to hone your skills because you're going to have less to work with. And that's where your creativity is really going to come through because you don't have, you know, the production budget to just, you know, get a location you want or get the props you want or the actor you want. So I think that's really where you cut your teeth is really in the micro budget filmmaking world. And so I've always been a strong believer in working with what you have and not necessarily looking for outside financing.
Wow, I think that's some great advice. I haven't heard that advice from anybody else I've talked to.
Yeah. I mean, now again, that's not to say that, you know, someday if someone, you know, wanted to hire me to direct a film, I wouldn't do that. I mean, that's kind of something a little different. But in regards to, you know, my production company and the production productions I'm doing, that's always been my philosophy is to just kind of work with what you have. And my dream has always to take my production company and to kind of turn it into a small studio. So eventually my goal would be to get to the level where I can, you know, finance other projects where I'm just kind of the executive producer. You know, I oversee the project and I can, you know, greenlight other filmmakers' projects. I mean, that's my goal, you know, in the future would be to, turn 856 Films into a small studio.
I think that's awesome. So one day I'm going to be sitting here in my bedroom getting DVD. Look at that.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. That'd be kind of funny. I would laugh when I get that half movie. Yeah. 856 Films. Because, I mean, I don't, to be honest, I usually don't look at production companies when I'm watching a film, but I do notice them.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, yeah. I've seen that one before. I'd be like, that'd be funny. I will look back on this interview very fondly the day that happens.
Yeah.
And just laugh to myself. My friend would be like, what's going on? I'm like, oh, I got to see this. I knew this guy years ago, and I did an interview with him, and I'll pull it up.
Yeah,
that's great. Did I not ask you about anything? Because I don't really have anything else in my notes for you. So I've topped on what I would like to talk about.
Anything no, I've missed? Say,
or, like, I've kind of, I don't want to really talk about the end of the film. Because
mm-hmm.
I think I want to leave that to the viewer.
Okay.
Unless you want. I don't really want to get into that.
I think, you know, I don't want to, without, like you said, you know, giving too much away.
Yes.
I think. I would just say anyone who is a fan of found footage film, this is definitely going to be you know, right up your alley.
Oh, I agree. Absolutely.
If I know some people who that's not really their thing. If found footage movies aren't really your thing, then, you know, you're probably – this isn't going to be, you know, for you. House of Paranormal might be your thing. That's a scripted horror film. That would probably be more along the lines of someone who is, you know, not really – who likes the horror genre but is not into the found footage thing. But if you're into the found footage film genre – this is definitely right up your alley. Like I said, it was it's strictly POV from both actresses' points of view. We shot on one actress had a DSLR, other actress had an iPhone, and it's a raw, gritty you know, found footage movie that if you're into that style of film, you're going to enjoy it.
I think they will. I totally agree. So now, fun question time.
Okay.
Favorite film of all times.
Oh, wow. Favorite film. That's...
You can give me a few because I like to discuss these. I always like to hear people's opinions.
You know, aside from horror, the horror genre, I also like – I've always been a crime drama guy. I like crime drama films. So, I mean, we could talk classics like, I mean, Goodfellas or Casino, any type of, you know, Martin Scorsese film, obviously, you know, in the crime drama or gangster film, you know, arena, I guess. Horror films, I've always been a fan, like Scream. I thought Scream was a great film. I'm
a fan
of the Insidious movies. I like the Insidious
scare
movies.
Scare the Jesus out of me.
I definitely like you know, I like found footage movies.
I think Rex.
I think the last one I saw was Alien Abduction, I believe.
I saw that a long time ago.
I thought that was great. So yeah, I mean, I couldn't put my finger on one specific film. I think films are sort of like food, and you kind of have to be in the mood for a certain type of thing.
I absolutely agree.
It'd be difficult to say one movie. I think it's just, you know, what you're in the mood for. Like I said, like food. I mean, I think sometimes you want pizza and sometimes you want steak. You know, so movies are the same way. I think sometimes, you know, I'm in the mood for a horror movie. I'd like to see, you know, old school classic horror movie. And then sometimes I, you know, Night of the Living Dead, the original or something. And then sometimes you might want to see a found footage movie like Factory Paranormal, you know?
Yeah, so, you need to see Factory Paranormal first before you go anywhere else.
Right. And then sometimes, you know, you're in the mood for, you know, maybe a crime drama or, you know, even a comedy. I'm not real big on comedy, but, you know, sometimes I'll do a comedy. You know, I'll watch a comedy every now and then.
Okay. Now, friend comes over, you're just hanging out. What film do you put on for them for fun?
Let's see. For fun? One of my movies?
Yeah. Any movie. It could be your movie. It could be something else. Doesn't matter. What would you put on? They just come over. It's Friday night. They dropped in. You're having a couple of drinks.
I would say one of the crime – it was in the crime genre film I did called Friends from the Neighborhood.
There you go.
I was really proud of that film. I had kind of stepped back from filmmaking for a little while, and that was the first movie I did after taking a little hiatus. And I was really proud of that film, and it was interesting to kind of come back into the filmmaking role because I had been away for a couple years, and to see the growth of just the industry was amazing. I mean, distribution had changed drastically in the couple years that I was away, and it really like I said, because you know that this is going back to 2014 when this film was released, and you know, VOD and on demand, the streaming services. I mean, if you're a fan of film, if you're a filmmaker, this is a great time. I mean, you literally have thousands of movies at your fingertips because of, you know, your cell phone. I mean, you grab your cell phone and literally have access to thousands of movies. I think that's just an awesome thing.
I don't like watching films on my phone, I'll be honest.
Oh, really? No. Well, I guess it depends on where you're at. You know, if you're at work or somewhere, if you're maybe on a train or a bus or something, or if, you know, maybe laying in bed, you know, you grab your phone, you can't quite sleep, you know, want to put on a movie.
I would put Brett, go get my iPad. 100 out of 100. Yeah. I have to do it. I can't.
Yeah.
I find that you as a filmmaker would be upset with me to watch your film on a phone. I would
honestly
lose depth perception. I mean, maybe you don't care. Yeah. I would.
Now, you know, my job is to entertain. And if you're entertained by watching it on a phone or iPad or, you know, 72-inch big screen TV, whatever your thing is, as long as, you know, you're watching, I guess, whatever you're comfortable with. My job is to entertain. I'm an entertainer. I tell stories, and however you want to consume that, that's completely up to you.
No, fair enough. Okay, last question. The easiest one, I think. You're in the movie theater. What do you buy?
In the movie theater?
Concession-wise, what are we getting?
Oh, absolutely. You're getting popcorn. Let me see. What else? Candy-wise? I'm going to say Sour Patch Kids.
Oh, wow. You and my brother would love each other.
Yeah.
Totally avoid those. Candy, any candy. My brother thinks it's funny. Never in yours.
Yeah, I'm going to go with popcorn, Sour Patch Kids. And
soda
course,
or pop? I can't remember what you got. Soda, New Jersey.
Soda. I'm going to go with a Sprite.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, you and my brother are going to totally get along. Great.
Yeah.
Look at me. What do you do with the dark stuff? Yeah, that's me. Well, that's great. I want to thank you for your time.
Thank you
for sending me the film.
Absolutely.
I quite enjoyed it. And you gave me a bunch of stuff I didn't know about filmmaking, and I think that's great.
Yeah.
So I want everybody to go see Factory of the Paranormal. It's available on Amazon. Anywhere you can find a film, they have it.
Absolutely.
Watch it, and watch the rest of his films. Watch the scripted ones. Watch the Crimes of Friends in the Neighborhood. He's got tons of stuff, and he needs a bigger budget because I want to see more films.
Absolutely. 856films.com.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.